Hey mama, welcome back to another episode on the One Income Family Podcast. I know how difficult it can be to get lost in the world of money, to see all the income you have left over that you can play with, or feel the stress of not having any extra income to play with at all, all the possibilities and goals that you can or maybe cannot set. Your focus is flipped from what's truly important to the things that you can or can't buy, and that becomes the thing that you sit on and brood over and over and over and over in your brain. It's the only thing you can think about, and before you know it, your life has passed in front of your eyes, and the only thing you can remember is how you couldn't buy something or how long it took to be able to buy that thing. You've lost sight of what's truly important. God, your husband, your children, your family, your friends, they've become an afterthought. That is why in this episode, I want to open your eyes to what God tells us about money and what the world is doing to you, manipulating you to put your identity into money. The first step in making a change is to first see the problem. And that's why I'm talking about four truths that are keeping you from being present with your family. So go reheat that cup of coffee or maybe grab another one and go grab that laundry and let's dive in. Hey friend, welcome to the One Income Family Podcast. Do you live primarily on your husband's income and find it hard to save or get out of debt? Are you constantly searching for ways to cut costs, live frugally, and do things on a budget? Do you have big dreams only to be stopped by overspending and loosely following your budget? Hey, I'm Molly, and I too have struggled with living and growing a family on one income. But through trial and error and a lot of help from God, my family and I have learned how to live abundantly on less. This podcast will bring you a Christ-centered, simple, and frugal lifestyle, along with how to budget so you can follow it, and time management tips that will transform your budget and your home. So go restart that laundry, grab your Bible, and let's get budgeting. I know how difficult it can be. You face constant struggles when living on one income. You're living paycheck to paycheck, stressing over the decision of whether you should pay the bills or get groceries. And when you do get groceries, sticking to that budget is so difficult, especially when your children are with you throwing a fit if they can't get a treat, right? So you live in the constant fear of your money running out and then embrace the thought that it would all go away if you just went back to work. Mama, going back to work is not the answer. You became a stay-at-home mom for a reason. Remember that reason. Hold on to that reason. You want to be the one to raise your children. You want to be the one to nurture their beliefs and who they are. You want to be the one to teach them and watch them grow. Don't give up on that dream just because your money is trying to get you to believe a different story. You obviously knew you could make it on one income, or else you wouldn't be where you are today. We weren't taught how to manage money at school. So when our money starts to take control of our lives, we're not sure how to handle it. I'm telling you, Mama, that you are not alone and you do not have to go back to work to right this situation. You can get your money back on track today. This is a season for you to embrace a new season, a season that's going to bring a lasting change, a transformation that will continue through the rest of your life, a life of peace, not of stress, a life of joy, not of overwhelm, all because you were able to wrangle in your money and get it to work for you instead of you working for it. If you're ready to embrace your new season, head on over to Calendly.com/Molly Bunnell and book your financial strategy session today. That's Calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, E-N-E-L-L. Alrighty, so four truths that are keeping you from being present with your family. I mean, how hard-hitting is that? I know that when this episode idea came to me, the Lord really brought some emotions with it. And I was struggling just as much as you probably will be when you're listening to this. I'm sure when you read my episode title, you were like wanting to listen, maybe just so that you can prove me wrong that you are present with your family. And it's okay if you're not. So just calm down and let's just get through this episode so that you can understand where it is that I'm coming from, because it is so important that we are prioritizing what is supposed to be first, which is God, then our husband, then our children, and then, you know, the rest of everything else comes along after that. But we are so focused on our money that we tend to become selfish. We tend to become more focused on the things that we want instead of the things that you should be focused on for your children, you know? And that's okay. I'm not trying to tell you that you're doing things wrong, because I am right there with you. Trust me, I am struggling. Like I said, this hit me just as much as it's probably going to hit you. So just have an open mind and listen to this episode and really glean from it what you can, so that you can start really focusing on your family and try to break away from what the world tells us to do, which is to put our identity into money. And that's not what we want to do. We want to put our identity into Christ, into God, and then let Him guide our actions with our money and everything. So let's dive into this, because it's going to be so impactful. I don't really want to get off track, if that makes sense. So the first thing that I want to talk about is that when you are in the way of the world and putting your identity into money, you bring on a heart of comparison. It brings on envy and jealousy and improper desires and sometimes improper actions. And we want to show off how much money that you have. And that shouldn't be a thought. Like, we shouldn't be focusing so much on how much money that we have that we have to buy all these expensive things just to show it off. Like, in all reality, why do you buy that expensive house? Is it because you want that house to look nice? Or do you want to show it off to the world and say, look how much money I have, I was able to buy this expensive house? The same way with your cars. Those are the two biggest factors when it comes to, aka, showing off our money and how much we have, is usually, well, in our clothes. The clothes that we wear, the vehicles that we buy, the houses that we live in. But in all reality, if you go out there to the world and look for wealthy people, they don't have the most expensive vehicles. They don't have the most expensive houses, and they don't wear the most expensive clothing. They shop at thrift stores and they buy frugally and manage their money in a healthy manner instead of trying to live in the world of comparison that just radiates envy and jealousy and just showing off how much money that we have. And that's not a way that we should be living. God says in Ecclesiastes 5:11, as goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefits are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them? See, right there when he says, except to feast their eyes on them, that's the whole showing everything off, and like the fact that the only good that these goods have is to look at them. They don't really have a function. And if that is the reason that you go out and you buy things is just because they look nice, now I'm not saying that you can't buy trinkets for your house and decorate your house, but you don't need to do it for the reason of comparison, for the reason of showing off how much money you have. That just makes your heart go to a place that you don't want it to go. And we should step back, look at the reason why we want to buy things before buying them. Okay, point number two, you bring on the fear of not having enough money. So you embrace that scarcity mindset when you put your identity into money like the world wants you to. Ecclesiastes 5:10 says, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income, which is meaningless. This this one right here hit me the hardest because I do like to save as much money as I possibly can because of that scarcity mindset. I have always lived in that scarcity mindset because my father lived in one income and he just was never able to like get a whole bunch of things for me, which is totally fine. And I don't hold anything against him for that, but it created in me this mindset that I need to save because you never know what is going to come. And so I never really used my money to enjoy the things that I'm doing. I never really, or to enjoy things. And so when I read this verse, it hit me so hard because I don't want to love money. I don't want to be so focused on the future and the fact that I may not have enough and try to control it myself. Instead, I need to be putting my faith and my trust and my beliefs in the Lord. And I can't do that if I'm so focused on saving so much money that I'm the one in control and I'm the one keeping us from going belly under or, you know, whatever the situation might come when it comes. I want to be able to believe that if there is a time, if there is a situation that I cannot like pay for it myself, that God is going to be there for me if ever that really big situation happens. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to stop saving money. No. But it's going to change the reason why I'm saving and whether I need to be saving as much money as I do. So definitely look at yourself. Are you embracing a scarcity mindset or are you allowing yourself to trust in the Lord that He is going to really be there for you? And I know that if somebody had asked me this before, I would have been like, no, I trust God. What kind of a question is that? But when I read this, when I read this verse, and I'm going to read it again, which is, whoever loves money never has enough. So that's the person right there who likes to spend and spend and spend, which again, there's nothing wrong with that. But the mindset behind it, the person who is constantly spending, then you're never going to have enough. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied in their income. So whoever is so focused on building wealth and needing to have more and more and more and have this desire to just create more income and bring in more income, and that is the only thought that you can think of, then that's that scarcity mindset that you're never going to have enough. That's that scarcity mindset that I want to be able to spend all this money, but I don't have enough money to spend it. And instead of just living in the world of being happy with what you have, we are so focused on not having enough and needing to create more income. So I definitely challenge you to look at your income and look at the things that you have coming out of it. Is it truly like impacting you in a good way, or is it feeding this belief that you don't have enough and that you need more income to satisfy whatever it is that you're wanting to get? If you're so focused on the fact that you need more income, I challenge you to put that thought aside and really just embrace where you are, to enjoy where you are, maybe cut out some things that maybe don't need to be there so that you can be more present with your family and your friends and God and stop stressing over not having enough money. Okay, so point number three is, or I should say truth number three, is that you set yourself up to continuously live paycheck to paycheck from debt. Because of the comparison and creating a heart of instant gratification, we don't want to wait until we have the money. We want it now. And because of that, you know, Romans 13:8 says, "Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt of love to one another." or whoever loves others, or for whoever loves others, has fulfilled the law. So God says to love our neighbors and to love everyone, and that's what we should be focusing on. But instead, when we are focused on the debt that we have and the fact that we need to pay it off, we aren't able to focus on our family, to focus on those who we are supposed to be loving and caring for. Instead, it causes us to live paycheck to paycheck. So when you are living on debt, which essentially is credit cards, which is continuous debt, and always being in that debt, then you always have to pay somebody back. And your mind is not then focused on what it is that you can do with your money to help others, or just to not worry about your money and focus on being present and being content with the things that you have. It makes you then think about, well, did I pay that off? Do I have enough money to make that payment this month because I decided to buy something that maybe I don't have the money for and I didn't think about how much it would increase my monthly payments? Like, are those thoughts that are constantly going through your brain that you're stressing about? Are you constantly worried about not being able to make payments because you have so much money tied up into debt? What is it that you're thinking about? Do you let debt run your life? Do you let that money run your life? And this is why I'm totally with Dave Ramsey when he says to pay off all your debt and then just save up that money. There are more reasons than just this. But when he says to save up your money and pay for it like in full price, it's because then you're not stressing over having to repay somebody else. I know I have always lived in a household where if we paid something for somebody else, we didn't worry about getting that money back. But my husband came from a family where if we pay for something for someone else, you have to pay that person back instead of, you know, just paying them back eventually down the road when they need help or doing things for them just to be nice, just because you feel like you should do something for them. No, they literally have like, maybe not a physical tab, but they have like mental tabs of how much money that they have to pay back to each other. And again, when you are living in that so-called debt, even if it is a friend and not the bank, it can still weigh on you. It can weigh on the other person just as much because you're so focused on, oh, well, they haven't paid me back, so I'm not going to do anything with them because they're going to want me to pay for something else again. And instead, God wants us to live with love, to continue the debt to love to one another. That's just out of this verse, like I just said. And if we are so focused on needing to be paid back, then we can't focus on loving each other, which is what God commands first and foremost. He doesn't say, hey, if you don't pay somebody back, then you're going to get in trouble and all that kind of stuff. No, he says to forget it. He says to forgive, to just let it go on, to go down the road. And I'm not condemning anybody. Trust me, I'm not saying that you're doing it wrong. I'm just trying to open your eyes to some of the things that people do and how it can keep your eyes focused on the wrong things instead of focused on love and being with our families and not focusing so much on money. Okay, so then point number four that I want to get at, or I keep saying point when I'm trying to say truth number four, is you put your heart and energy into frivolous and meaningless things that distract you from true joy, which doesn't come from things. I once heard somebody tell a story of someone who continued to have lots of children, and they were asked why they kept having children and weren't stopping. And when the guy responded, he said, "I keep having children because they are the only thing that I can take with me when I die." Now, he doesn't mean like right then and there, you know, when he dies. But when he dies, he knows that his children, when they pass away, way further down the line when it's their time, he's going to see them again up in heaven. And when we, so Ecclesiastes 5:15 says, everyone comes naked from their mother's womb. And as everyone comes, so they depart. They take nothing from their toil that they can carry in their hands. So essentially, when you pass away, everything that you bought with your money is meaningless. It's pointless. Like, you can't take it with you once you die. You can enjoy it here while you're on earth. But once you pass away and you move on to the spirit world to live with God, then there's like nothing that you were able to buy here. Nothing that we think of here on this earth is going to be the same in heaven. And we aren't going to have to worry about this. We're not going to have to worry about money. All the stresses that we think of now are going to be gone. So why are we stressing over them here on earth? We don't need all these trinkets and all these things that clutter our house to live a joyful and happy life. We don't need to continuously be buying things because we can't take them with us to heaven. So why should we worry so much about whether we can buy the most expensive car instead of just buying a car that's going to get us to where we need to go? Why are we so worried about buying huge, expensive, luxurious houses when we should just be focused on maybe fixing up the one that we have to enjoy it a little bit more and just really be content in the ways that we already have and the life that we already have? I really want you to see the things that you have, the things that aren't really all that important, the things that we continuously buy because they look nice, but then you're like, well, what am I going to do with that? How am I going to put that in my already cluttered house? I need to go through my house and get rid of a whole bunch of stuff because it's overwhelming the amount of stuff that I have, and I don't want to have to clean it up all the time. I don't want to have to do all this extra work because I have all this junk, right? And at the time, it maybe wasn't junk, or maybe it was given to us and we needed it and used it once and now we don't need it again. So should we just give it away, or should we hoard it and keep it in the house because we might need it again someday? And I really want you to think about the things that are occupying your mind. What is it that fuels it? Is it money? Are you so focused on your debt? Are you focused on needing to get more things? Are you focused on all the things that you have to clean because you continue to buy things? What is it that's causing stress and overwhelm on your heart? And maybe those are the things that you need to start, you know, taking out. I struggle saying this because, you know, getting rid of things can be really hard. There can be sentiment attached to it. There can be fear of needing it in the future. There can be fear of having to buy it again, because if you get rid of something but have to buy it again later down the road, isn't that a waste of money, right? So there are so many fears in relation to getting rid of things. There are so many fears in getting rid of debt. My husband doesn't want to get rid of debt because he thinks that we can't buy things without credit, but I think that we can. I know that we can. Dave Ramsey, he tells all the time how people are able to buy houses, how people are able to buy the things that we need without credit, and might take longer to get it because we are living in delayed gratification, having to save up for it. But just think of all the money that you save not having to pay that interest, right? So what is it that you need to get rid of when it comes to comparison? I know that I've realized that watching a certain TV show has made me really start thinking about my life and whether it's the way I like it and enjoy it. And a few weeks ago, when I didn't get sick, because my husband and, well, my whole family came down with a sickness a week before my Christmas series came out. And so I was like so sick, unable to do things. So I was just watching TV. Well, we hadn't been watching that much TV before then. And I was watching days and days upon this TV show, right? Well, it caused so much comparison and negativity in my heart that I'm starting to not enjoy my life, when before then I was really enjoying the things that I was doing. So why should I focus so much on, or even allow myself to watch this TV show, when it's making my heart have improper desires, which then is going to make me start thinking about, well, what can I do with my money and how can I make my life into that with my money? And it's just this big whole wagon wheel where it just continuously goes and goes and goes in all these four areas. So instead, we need to put our hearts and our identity into God, into Christ. We need to trust that He's going to provide for us when we need it, and to embrace a life of contentment instead of comparison. And I struggle with the word contentment, because I used to think that contentment meant being happy with what you have, regardless of whether it's something that brings you joy. So I used to think that this job that I had, someone told me that I needed to be content in it. Well, it was mentally stressing me out. It was bringing me a little bit of depression, and that's not okay. Getting out of that was good. And I didn't want to have to live in a place that I was unhappy and just be content with it, and that it was something that, even though we weren't happy with it, we enjoyed it, and that's what contentment meant. But then I realized what true contentment means. So being content is being happy with the things that God has provided for you, not the things of the world. So the things that God provides for you, the happiness, the joy, the things that He gives you, He's going to give you more things if you need them. And there are going to be times where you're going to be able to get things that you want and not necessarily just need. And that's okay. But we do need to start living in contentment with the things that we have. Something that we buy, do we like it? Does it bring us joy, or does it just make you unhappy? Like, what I'm trying to get at is, are you living in comparison when it comes to contentment? Are you looking at what other people have and then you're not happy with the thing that you bought, even though you were super excited to buy it and it brings you a whole bunch of joy, but because somebody else has a different thing and you think it looks nicer and it's more luxurious, then you aren't happy with the thing that you bought because you're so focused on the trends and you're so focused on what everybody else is doing instead of focusing on the things that you enjoy, the things that you like, the things that you love, the things that really lift you up. And so I do really want you to focus more on what it is that you have, whether it brings you joy. If it doesn't, get rid of it and replace it with something else if you need to. Maybe you can just get rid of it and not have to replace it. That would be awesome, right? Okay, those are the four things that I really want you to think about. And those verses are so strong. If you want, I will put those verses in the show notes so that you can easily get to them and really mull them over, maybe journal over them to see what God is trying to speak to you with these verses. Because what He said to me and what I'm sharing with you might be totally different than what He's going to share with you yourself as you read through these verses. Like I said, Ecclesiastes 5:10 is the one that hit me the most. Which one hit you the most? Which one are you going to focus on? Don't try to go through all of these and overwhelm yourself, but just, I really wanted to just open your eyes to, you know, the fact that we are so focused on our money sometimes that we push away the things that we really should be focusing on, which is God and our family and our husbands. And so I really pray that this episode has opened your eyes and that you are able to glean from it the message that the Lord is trying to share with you. Okay, so I want to invite you to head over and grab a financial strategy session so that you can start creating habits and setting in place small changes that will get you closer to sticking to your budget and find yourself able to focus on your family more than your finances. So if this sounds like what you have been looking for, head on over to calendly.com/Molly Bennell. That's calendly.com/Molly with a Y, B as in boy, Ell. And I will see you back here next Tuesday for another episode on the One Income Family Podcast. Hey friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode and I pray that it inspired you into action. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with that friend who also lives on one income and wants to learn how to live abundantly on less? Also, please leave a quick review for the show. It lights me up to know this podcast is helping you, and it helps get the show out there to other mamas in need. All right, well, it's time to go play with the babies, so I will meet you back here on Tuesday for another episode. Peace and chicken grease, mama.